please, the United States versus French.
May it please the court, counsel. This is an appeal from a denial of a motion to suppress. It's based upon observations made by a probation officer in search of a probationer on the property of another uninvolved individual who was not on probation at the time. Under the Fourth Amendment, it's undisputed that an individual has a right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures in its home. And courts have long recognized that the intimate activities of the home aren't confined by a single structure or by walls, and that they sometimes spill outside of the structure. And courts have also decided that the Fourth Amendment provides protection to those areas as well. Those areas are commonly called curtilage, and the courts have struggled to define curtilage.
How do you pronounce your last name?
Dyson.
Dyson. Ms. Dyson, after our in-bank decision in Redmond, I suppose one thing one can derive from that is it's a highly factually intensive mm-hmm. inquiry. And my question for you is, even if Mr. Kelly had been a police officer, forget about the probation officer thing, it seems to me walking up the driveway and walking down another gravel pathway, indeed away from the house, are all the kinds of things that that can happen. These are not areas that are, you didn't have to vault over a fence, or you didn't have to, you know, go through, you know, some barrier to get there. And so it's just hard for me to see, as a factual matter, how this case could possibly be anything but permissible observation after Redmond.
Simply because one should not have to make their home a maximum security prison for privacy. You have to understand, this was a rural setting. There was no need. Mr. French had no reason to believe that his property would be open to view from numerous passersby. The gravel road that led up to the trailer was approximately 200 feet. There were timbers at the end of that gravel driveway that signified this is the end. There was a walkway that went to the door of the trailer, which the probation officer never approached. So I don't believe that if you don't, I think that the U.S. Supreme Court said and done that the factors that they set out, aren't any one of them are determinative. If there are no enclosures, it does not mean that you don't have an expectation of privacy.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think, this is being what I would suggest to you, although you can tell me if I'm wrong, is a factually determined question. Judge McCuskey looks at the facts, including the layout of the driveway, the fact that other people who are not members of the household are there from time to time, and he concludes that it's open enough to the public, if you will, to others, that it falls on the non-curtilage side of the line. Don't we owe that finding of fact deference?
I don't think so, Judge, because I think that he was incorrect. This is not.
Well, that doesn't mean we don't owe him deference. It might mean you want to argue he's clearly erroneous.
Well, he's clearly wrong, Judge.
That's fine.
I think that he's wrong in several respects. Judge McCuskey said that there was no enclosure. I think he put too much an emphasis on the fact that there was no enclosure, ignoring the fact that this is a rural area, that no one had access to the property from the roadway within like a 200-foot radius. He also concluded that the property or that area of the property was open to the public. Just because you have a lot of friends and you have arrangements with your friends that they can come over to your house and work on their car does not mean that the area is open to every public person. You know, he also concluded that the area was not tied to the intimate activities of the home, mainly because Mr. French worked on cars there, he stored tools there, and he had friends do the same. I think that there was no evidence to indicate that Mr. French was a mechanic by profession. This was a hobby. Sure, no matter how grungy and dirty it is, surely a hobby is tied to the intimate activities of an individual's home. Additionally, the district court...
Well, I would think it depends on the hobby, don't you? I mean, if you grew plants, I mean, in a field far away, it might be your hobby, or if you were a hunter or something. It surely depends on the hobby.
Well, you're absolutely right. I disagree, actually. It does not depend on the hobby. It depends on the location, you know, more than on the hobby itself. I think that if you had a garden and with your flowers and you went out there and you tended your flowers and it's in your backyard, I think that you afforded some degree of privacy, the privacy afforded by the Fourth Amendment. And in saying that the defendant's, the use of the property was not intimately tied to the defendant's home, the district court ignored the warning in Dunn that law enforcement officials should have an objective or some objective evidence that this is not tied to the intimate activities of the home. And at the time, the probation officer did not have that. He walks up, he sees an individual who could be the owner of the property working on a car. He finds out after the fact that other people work on their cars in that area. You can't bootstrap. It is at the time. Ultimately, the district court concluded that the gravel walkway, which was located approximately 20 feet from the trailer, and it was between a shed and lean-to, and ultimately the district court concluded that that gravel walkway was not within the curtilage of the defendant's home. This court has said the closer to the residence, the greater the presumption of curtilage. And that is so. We're talking about a mere 20 feet from the residence in this case. And I understand that you cannot take the measurements in one case and apply them mechanically to another. The gravel walkway, the district court also concluded that Mr. French didn't take any steps to ensure his privacy. That was not the case. Again, the property or the shed itself and the gravel walkway was located some 200 feet from the road. And in order to ensure his privacy, Mr. French erected a partition from the shed. It obscured the doorway of the shed and it obscured the doorway of the lean-to. The only way that anyone could have access to that shed was to step onto the curtilage of the land. You could not see the inside of the shed from the driveway, which is undisputed that that's open to the public. The government would have us believe that because Mr. Kelly viewed it from, because that area could be viewed from a lawful vantage point, that there was an expectation of privacy. Perhaps it would be the case that Mr. Kelly's discovery would have been based solely on his observations, but it was not. It was based upon his presence inside the curtilage. He smelled chemicals which he associated with the methamphetamine laboratory. He could not have smelled those chemicals had he been on the public walkway or on the garage. Additionally, this is not, the gravel walkway is not an area that invites public access. As this court has talked about in numerous garbage can cases, that a particular area may be included in the curtilage. But when you put your garbage can there, you invite people to come and pick up that garbage can. If you have a porch with a welcome mat in your front door and a doorbell, you invite people to come up. If you have your mailbox there, you invite people to come up. Salesmen come up. But salesmen do not walk to the back of the property. They simply do not. The government suggests that police officers are allowed to walk to the back of the property in order to investigate a 911 call. Well, in that sense, the ends justify the means. Surely you have a situation where someone may be hurt. So someone's Fourth Amendment rights may give way to that. And additionally, police officers have jurisdiction or statutory authority over everybody within their jurisdiction. In this case, the ends does not justify the means. You cannot have a probation officer who has the authority to arrest, who has jurisdiction only over a probationer, invade the Fourth Amendment rights of
someone. Do you know that you're into your rebuttal time?
I'd like to save some time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors, Ms. Dyson. May it please the Court, my name is Linda Mullen and I represent the United States. The touchstone of the Fourth Amendment is reasonableness. Is reasonableness. And in this case, nothing that probation officer Kelly did was unreasonable. We don't want to lose the forest for the trees in this case. It was reasonable for him to go to the French property to begin with. He was looking for his probationer, as was his duty. He had gone to both Richard Hensley's mother and mother-in-law to search for him to begin with. They suggested that he would be at the Aaron French property working on cars that he often frequented there and worked as a mechanic there. He drives out to the property, enters through a gravel driveway that ends up in a parking lot outside of this trailer, and what does he see? He sees a person on this gravel walkway that we're discussing working on a car. It was then perfectly reasonable for him to get out of his car and approach this person working on a car. We would suggest that it was more reasonable to do that and less an invasion of privacy than had he walked up to the front door of the trailer. This is a person out in the open, not engaged in any kind of intimate activity. We're talking about intimate activities in the home. We're talking about things like bathing and sleeping.
Only in San Francisco do people engage in intimate activity outside the home.
Well, perhaps, Your Honor. But certainly, working on an automobile in a gravel walkway outside the home is not something that would give, in addition to this probation officer, that this was a private activity, an intimate activity that he should be respectful of in that sense. As he begins to approach this person on the gravel walkway, of course, some other things start to occur. He sees people.
Yes, I'm not sure the Fourth Amendment only protects intimate activities. If I'm sitting at my kitchen table reading a book, I don't know that that's an activity that I would mind particularly if anybody else had some odd reason to want to watch me do it. But I mean, I might do it out in the park. I might do it at my kitchen table. I might do it anywhere. If it's inside your castle, as it were, you can do that, and that's what the question of this curtilage issue is. Where are the boundaries of this area over which you can expect not to be bothered by the police without appropriate authority?
Absolutely, Your Honor, and that's why when we look at the issue of curtilage, we're looking at that issue, though, of intimate activities of the home. Not all activities that occur outside of the home are those that we're willing to afford that same level of Fourth Amendment protection. So we do look at the Dunn factors. We look, is this area enclosed? Why? Because if you've enclosed the area, you have said to the world, I want privacy in this area. You have made that statement to the world. There was no enclosure here whatsoever. If you have up gates, fences, no trespassing signs, things that would send a message to the world, I want privacy in that area, then that's an area that we're more willing to accept you have a reasonable expectation of privacy in.
But Ms. Dyson argues this is really quite a distance back from the road. I don't know how much foliage there is around the particular piece of property here, but people standing on the road, I take it, would not have had any particularly good view of what was going on.
As is often the case, Your Honor, but in this case, there's a gravel driveway that goes right up into the front of the trailer. From the gravel driveway and the parking area, you can see this gravel walkway, which connects the shed and the trailer. Again, that shed, for example, that the defendant's wife didn't even have a key to the shed. The shed was not used, nor are they claiming that it was used for any intimate activity of the home. This gravel walkway connected the two things. There were two gravel walkways that you could see from this gravel drive and parking area in front of the trailer. One was a gravel walkway that extended directly to the front door of the trailer, and the other was one that ran in between the trailer and the shed. Both were clearly visible from the main drive that you would drive into. Again, I would take us back to what happened here. When the probation officer comes on this site and drives in, the first thing that he sees, plain to anyone who drives up to the property, is a man working on a car on this gravel walkway. We would submit that that doesn't suggest that there was anything intimate or private going on in that area, and no one would have presumed that they would have privacy there. If there's anything unreasonable in this case, it's Aaron French's expectation that that area would be treated as private when he had given no indicia of expecting any privacy there through an enclosure, through a fence. And probation officer Kelly did have objective evidence that there were non-intimate activities going on there. He knew before he ever went to the property that people worked on cars in that area, and of course that was borne out as soon as he got there. He sees people coming and going at will, walking all over the property, parked in cars on the property, working on cars in the property. It was a very cluttered area with a lot of people walking around. He had no reason to believe that this was a private area. If Your Honors have no other questions, I will return the remainder of my time to the court. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. You have 1 minute, please.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You're welcome.
It is unreasonable to suggest that intimate activity is related solely to things that we are embarrassed to show to others. Intimate activity is a very individual thing. It is, as Your Honor has said, reading a book. It also includes working on cars. It is also unreasonable to assume that an individual has to erect a fence in order to be afforded Fourth Amendment protection. I would ask that this court reverse the district court's decision in denying our motion to suppress. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both for your help, and we will proceed to case number